Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Marissa Kleiss of RE/MAX Metro Eastside.
And I'm Eric Austinus from Home Street Bank. And we're here today. We have a special guest with us, Clark Dixon from Home Street Bank. He's one of the leads in our appraisal department. Welcome, Clark.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you here. You know, in lending and in real estate, you know, appraisers play an integral role in our business. And sometimes we're praising them, and sometimes, you know, we're cursing them. And it's kind of funny about that. If you listen to some real estate agents, appraisers have got to be the dumbest people on the face of the planet. Unless they happen to come in with a good value, then they're super smart. You know, I suppose you have to deal with that. You know, it's an industry where, you know, sometimes you have to give bad news.
Yeah, if you bring an appraisal at sale price and there's no work orders, then obviously as a realtor, that's a very good appraisal.
Absolutely. It's perfect.
If you miss the sale price on some, and you're below the sale price and you have lots of work orders, well, then that's a bad appraisal, obviously.
Right. Oh, yeah. I guess that's just sort of human nature on that. Clark, tell us a little bit about your background. I know we go way back.
Yeah, I've been appraising for about 26 years, and about half of that I've been acting as an independent fee appraiser, working for myself, contracting mm-hmm. to lenders and others. And the other half of that has been primarily acting as an appraisal reviewer for a few years, and mm-hmm. then an appraisal manager, managing independent fee appraiser contractors that are engaged by the bank for lending appraisal services.
Got it. And just so our listeners understand, you know, a few years ago, part of the whole Dodd-Frank legislation, I believe, was a law passed, the appraiser independence law, that basically built a wall. Whereas a loan officer, it's illegal for me to speak with an appraiser. It's illegal for a bank to influence the decision of an appraiser.
You're going to go to jail, son.
Right, that's right. You know, we just don't want to go there. And a lot of lenders, a lot of banks especially, spun off their whole appraisal departments, and they have, we call them what, AMCs, appraisal management corporations or companies, that sort of handle that process of ordering the appraisal and hiring the appraiser, engaging the appraiser. But aren't most appraisers out there right now independent? They're self-employed?
Yeah, almost all of them that are doing lending work don't work for financial institutions at all.
Yeah.
They either work for appraisal management companies or AMCs, or they work with direct engagement lenders.
Got it. Now, Home Street's a little bit different in that regard, right?
Yeah, we are a direct engagement lender, and we have an in-house appraisal department that maintains that appraiser independence function.
Right. So
inside the bank.
I still can't talk to the appraiser, but you can. So,
yes.
So basically, we kind of set up this sort of, you know, I whisper in your ear, hey, this guy's a knucklehead, and you got to fix this. And then you talk to the appraiser, and you filter everything that I said into kind, polite, politically correct words, and kind of goes like that, right?
Yeah, and sometimes, Eric, when you think they're a knucklehead, I think they're really good at what they do.
Yeah, I know. I've sort of noticed that. Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't always go my way, but, you know, we still have to try. So,
no doubt.
So Clark, the appraisal process right now, and Marissa was alluding to this before our break, it's taking a long time to get appraisal reports back right now, and we know there's some definite reasons for that. But can you kind of expand on that? What's going on with the shortage of appraisers?
Sure. What it really comes down to is supply and demand, mm-hmm. and it's really hard to fight those laws of supply and demand. But let me give you a little background on what's taken place over the last 30 years. You know, and I'll be real very brief. I won't go into too much detail, as fascinating as it might be. In response to the savings and loan failures in the late 80s, mm-hmm. FIREA was introduced, the federal banking legislation that said that appraisers had to take courses and they had to become licensed, and they set up a mechanism to license appraisers and, you know, allow for licensing and certification of appraisers so that this, in theory, wouldn't happen again, because they didn't want the influence of, you know, values that were too high or inflated. And so as a result of that, there are some barriers to entry for the appraisers that make it difficult to become an appraiser. Mm-hmm. So right now you need a college degree to become an appraiser, whereas 30 years ago you didn't. You have to have, for example, you have to have, I think, 3,000 hours of experience, which means you have to go to work for somebody for 3,000 hours.
And you also have to
have,
right?
Yeah, it's a couple years. And then you also have to have some additional educational requirements met in addition to a college degree, having to do with appraisal classes and market influences and things like that. So by the time someone gets a college degree and goes through this, what becomes an indentured servitude, working on a small percentage basis of the total fee and covering all of their own expenses, it becomes undesirable as a profession to enter when you have a college degree. So that's some of the barriers to entry on that side. So what's happening is the appraiser population is aging at an increasing rate. So the average age of an appraiser now is about 60 years old. They're dying and retiring every day.
Faster than they can be replaced.
And nobody is replacing them, and there's nobody in line to replace them. So you have a shrinking supply of appraisers in a high refinance market where there all of those loans need appraisals and a really robust purchase and sale market. And so that has kind of created this perfect storm. And for example, in Oregon, if I'm in Portland, my turn time on a purchase appraisal is 6 weeks.
Wow.
And that's in a metropolitan area and, in the U.S. And if I get to Eastern Oregon or Eastern Washington, I could be sitting on 8 weeks to get an appraisal back. So if you're a realtor riding in a 30 or 45 day close and you've got an 8 week turn time, something's not going to fit with that.
Right.
So
it
causes all kinds of problems.
And this is something that's outside of the control most of the time of the lender. And the only leverage that we have is pay a rush fee, right?
Pay a rush fee. The problem is that this has been going on in the Seattle area for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And the appraisers are very burned out and very tired, and they're not really interested in the new business or the money at this point, because what they don't have is time, and you want to eat into more of their time or put something in front of the one that they already have.
Well, and to add on to the top of that, talk a little bit about just the complexity of an appraisal report, how that's changed over the last few years as well.
Well, 10 years ago, you could write an appraisal report and you would put in three comparable sales with three photos, no interior photos, and your comments addendum might be 2 pages long. Since then, they've added a whole new one-page form that requires usually some linear regression analysis. It requires additional commentary, and it's got to match what the rest of your appraisal says. Now you have to have at least 4 closed sales and usually 2 pendings or listings, along with the analysis and the commentary associated with that and all of the photos associated with that. And you have to have interior photos of virtually every room and everything that adds or detracts from value, and then a bunch of other exhibits like maps. And most appraisers now will include some sort of regression analysis or analytics associated with how they derive their adjustments. And the fee up until a year ago was about the same as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. No real difference. I mean, the cost has not changed all that much. I mean, I know our cost right now is about $600 for a standard appraisal.
And that's up considerably from last year. Mm-hmm. It's about a 25% increase over last year. But it's the first increase that appraisers have had in fundamentally 20 years.
Right, we went from 500 to 600.
Yeah.
And that typical appraisal report is about 20 pages?
Oh, it's 35 to 45
or maybe even
pages
more than that
now.
At this point. Yeah. All legal length.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about the analysis, the regression analysis, let's talk a little bit about that, because an appraiser has to find comparable sales. So these are homes that have to be similar enough and size, age, style, square footage, number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, view amenities, location, all of that.
And they're falling off trees, aren't they, Eric?
That have recently sold.
Right.
And within a specific geographic area. And no two homes are alike. So an appraiser has to first find these. So it used to be 3. Now it's 4, 5, 6. And then they have to make adjustments because no two homes are alike. And it's where those adjustments come in that can really lead to, real estate agents, popping blood vessels. So have I got that right?
You do have it right. And fundamentally, I think realtors oftentimes look at a home very differently than an appraiser does. And I don't know that one is necessarily more correct or one is right or one is wrong. But I know oftentimes realtors look at homes, particularly if they're in a very defined neighborhood, as they'll look at homes on based on a dollar per square foot basis,
mm-hmm.
right? So 1.5 story homes in Fremont sell for, you know, X dollars a square foot. And so if it's a little better, you can raise that up. And if it's in lesser condition, you'd lower that down. But fundamentally, it's based on a dollar per square foot. And appraisers report that in every appraisal, but they never consider it. They look at other things like size, condition, style, utility, bedroom, bathroom count, those kind of things, and then make individual adjustments for the differences in amenities, whether it's positive or negative.
Yeah, it's much more complicated than just simply one calculation, dollar per square foot. And on a purchase transaction, the appraiser sees the purchase and sale agreement. So on a purchase transaction, the appraiser knows what your home is being sold for. But on a refinance, let's say you're refinancing your home, there's no purchase and sale agreement. So that's where we see some big variations or differences between what an appraiser thinks the home might be worth and what the homeowner might think the home is worth. And I can guarantee you in a refinance transaction, there's only one person, you know, around that thinks the home is worth more than the homeowner, and that's the tax assessor, you know, in many cases. but with a refinance, though, is it the same analysis?
It should be fundamentally the same analysis.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, it should be essentially the same value. There is this perception in the market that it's not always the same. It isn't always going to be the same, that the appraisers always shoot for the sale price and they don't have anything to shoot for in the refinance transaction. And the reality is that's not the case if the appraiser's doing their job and doing it well.
Got it. Well, this makes perfect sense. And it's unfortunately, sometimes we see the frustration that come out with that because we have our idea of what the home is worth, and then we have what the appraiser's idea of what the home is worth, and those two don't always sort of sync up. Every now and then we get some nice surprises as well, especially with our market now where it's been so strong. But I've got a few more questions about this, and we're going to be coming into a break here real quick. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about how those values are derived, and more on the shortages. If you've got questions for us too, or for Clark, our appraiser, give us a call, 866-712-1300. Stay tuned for more at Open House at Team Reba.
Got a question? Call it in, 866-712-1300.